No pressure. Well, tonight you got a bunch of poblanos. Tonight. Hey, you don't understand that. I realize that. The speakers are from Puebla. We are poblanos now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, Lord willing, we're going to be heading back on Friday. Friday morning, we'll be traveling to Puebla. We'll be driving 2 days. We'll be going from here to the border and getting our paperwork, and then going halfways, spending the night, and being in Puebla on Saturday, Lord willing. Back at our meeting on Sunday. So I want to thank the church. It's been great being here, seeing you guys, laughing a whole bunch, and want to thank Deborah and Scott too for letting us stay at their house. It was funny. We showed up over there at their house, and of course Deborah, you know, came outside and she wanted to help us unpack, you know, to move into our house. And I think she was pleasantly surprised when I said, no, I can do it, because when I opened up the hatchback, I mean, it was piled of stuff. I had a Lazy Boy in there, and it's incredible what your Mexican missionaries take back to Mexico, so, what we can fit in there in the car. But I want to thank you for your hospitality. It's been real nice up here, and the food and everything. It's always good. But it's a good little time to come back and be with you guys. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, there in Puebla, we've been there for a little over a year, and we want to ask that you pray for us there as we're in the city, because we haven't seen much fruit. The people that we do have, we have one family who's actually heard us preach in the plaza, and they come on Thursdays. Well, their only day they can come is Thursdays, because he works in the market and they have to work on Sundays. It's their big day. Lord willing, the Lord will touch him, he'll get saved, and he'll figure out a big day is Sunday too. Yeah. So, but that's really the family. We have other studies and stuff. We have several people who have been evangelized before, they're saved, they've been coming, not too faithful. We have this one couple who's been helping us out. They're independent Baptists. He's an engineer, he works downtown, and he heard us preaching about 4 or 5 months ago, and he just showed up about a month before we came up, I guess in June, early June. He just showed up with his wife, and he's been coming to the Thursday meetings. So he has his meeting on Wednesday, but I think he just wants to help us out, you know, just have a couple bodies there. And it does help out when you have people that are actually sitting there, because when we don't have people sitting there, and it's funny, I'll tell you a story. We were talking about starting works, and I was talking to the brothers in Guadalajara when we were over there a while back, and we were laughing about the new works and stuff, and how strange it is. You know, to start with just nothing. And it was funny, because this brother said that he happened to be alone that Sunday at his meeting. His partner went back to León, and he was alone there. And so it was right at the beginning, and he said he was preaching, and his wife is sitting down with his kids, and he's preaching, and she's the only one there, right? And so she's kind of like nodding her head, you know, at the preaching, right? And these people come up to him, and they're talking to him, because they're thinking that they have no idea what he's saying, but they're thinking that he's yelling at his wife. And his wife, his poor wife, is just like, you know, so submissive, and just in there. And he says, no, we're having a meeting here where I'm actually preaching the Bible. Oh, okay, we thought she did something wrong, and you were like embarrassing her in front of everybody. So it gets pretty comical sometimes. And so the more bodies we have out there, the better, you know, because then it actually looks like we're actually doing something instead of yelling at our wives. But you pray for Puebla. We're excited about what the Lord can do there. And we're preaching on the streets. We're preaching downtown. We're giving out tracts. And we just need to get that open door. We just need to find that family. And you know, Lord willing, we'll have a church. And Lord willing, next year, maybe we can make the full week and leave somebody down there in charge. This year, our Thursday night meeting is going to be looked after one of the brothers in Pachuca, Noé Castillo, a good brother there, and he agreed to go and take the meeting on Thursday, and so we're happy for that. That's why we're able to stay here at least one more day. But Lord willing, we'll be back there on Sunday. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse 9. It says, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." And go down to verse 20. It says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, to come together and to hear your word. And I just ask that you bless tonight. I ask that you bless the messages, that you give us just the right things that you want us to say, Lord. And I just pray that you speak to us, Lord. And thank you for this conference, for these days. It's been real good. And I just thank you, Lord, for moving. I thank you, Lord, for just being with us, Lord. And I ask that you help us to not only catch a vision, Lord, and renew our vision, renew our efforts, Lord, and just get us excited again, Lord, what we're here and our purpose, Lord. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The question I want to leave you with tonight is why do we do what we do? You know, I'm reading these verses, and I just want to mention a few reasons, a few motives, I think, why we do what we do, why we want to not only preach the gospel, not only take the gospel somewhere else, but to be truly Christians, to live more like Christ, to be more like him. I think this is something that every Christian and all of us should attain to be more like Christ. And I know it's difficult, and I know it's very strange to a lot of folks. You know, there's a lot of people that don't understand why we do what we do. You know, why we meet together, why we read our Bible, you know, why we worship God, why God is a part of our daily life. I mean, you know, if you want to please God, if you want to do his will, then God has to be a part of your life every single day. I mean, it is very important. I mean, from the time you get up in the morning, thanking God, when you sit down and eat, you thank God for your food. From the time you go to bed, thank you God for another day. I mean, we are totally, and we should be totally surrendered to him and whatever he wants us to do. But you know, I think there's motives for us serving God. And I think Paul mentions three things here that I just briefly want to touch. And look at verse 9. It says, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." You know, I think one of the reasons why we serve God and why we preach the gospel and why we go and why we do the things that we do and give our money and give our time and do all these things is because we want to be accepted of the Lord. And I don't think he's talking here about salvation, because the Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 1, it says that we are accepted in the Beloved. So it's not dependent upon what we do. Our salvation isn't dependent on our works, on all the things we do. We are already accepted in the Lord. But I think the reason why we go, the reason why we sin, the reason why we want to live and we should desire to live and be more Christ-like is because we want to be accepted of the Lord. You know, I think that's very important. You know, I think we need to be ambitious for Christ. You know, whether present or absent, whether we are here in the world among brethren, among lost people, we want God to look at us and say, "I approve of your life." That should be our main focus. And I think that's why we do the things that we do. You know, I know that's why, you know, I made a change and made decisions in my life after I got saved. And these decisions that we make sometimes aren't very easy decisions. And the longer we walk with Christ, the easier they get. You know, for me, it's not very hard. If somebody invites me to go to cantina, it's not a problem me saying no. It ain't a problem. Back then, maybe it was. I was thinking, well, you know, what time of the night? You know, my Christian brothers are all asleep about this time. You know, I mean, it's difficult. But once you do it for so long, once you make that decision, say, you know what, I want God to approve of my life. Because God sees you in the middle of the night like if it was midday. Just because the sun goes down, and just because you are somewhere isolated, it doesn't mean God doesn't see what you do. Sometimes we lose track of that. You know, I think it's very important that we live such a life, and the reason why we do what we do is because we want to be accepted by God. We want him to approve of our life. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know, Paul was important to him to have a good testimony. It was important to him to be accepted of the Lord. He wanted his life to be able to save others. You know, I think this should be something in us. We should have a desire to be right with God. We should be careful not to bring reproach to the name of Christ. You know, and it really isn't that hard to live Christ-like. I mean, we're not perfect. We're gonna mess up. You know, and when we mess up, we shouldn't beat ourselves over the head too long. We should just get up and walk with Christ again. The reason why we get up and go is because we want to be accepted by him. We want our lives to have, for him to one day say, "You done well." Isn't that what we want him to say? I want him to say that. You know, I think, and he mentions it here in these verses about the judgment seat of Christ. You know, in that day, I think God's gonna judge our motives, why we did what we did. You know, there's people I know they can, you know, maybe they've done a lot, they've read a lot, they've accomplished a lot for God, you know, they can brag on themselves, whatever, but why do we read the Bible? Is it to be more Christ-like, or just so we can say we read the Bible 100 times? Yeah. What is your motive? You know, why do you give money? So somebody could see your name on the check and say, man, you're a good giver? Or do you give just because you want God to be pleased with you? Amen. Why do we go out and do and work and try to put our body under subjection, like it says in this verse? Is it so somebody else won't come down on us? Or we truly want to please God? I think this is one reason, one motive of why we do what we do, is because we want God to accept us. Another thing, it says we persuade, it says in verse 11, I'm going to go there, it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Now, I think right here, persuading men, I think we persuade men, and it's two reasons why we do it. Because this is definitely important. When we have this mission conference, we want our preaching, we want to persuade you. We want to persuade you to look at the bigger picture. To look and maybe get excited again about what you're doing. Or maybe just get excited for the first time of what God could be doing for you. We want to persuade you and to convince you that this is actually God's will. But you know, we persuade men, and you live, if you truly want to have God accept you and be accepted in the Lord, then you abstain from certain things. Why? So others can come to know Christ. I mean, this is why you don't live a life of a drunkard. This is why you're not a drug addict. This is why you're not you don't go out in the street and take the Lord's name in vain and you cuss up a storm. Why don't we do these things? It's not because we sometimes don't have a desire to do them. You know the problem with sin is it's very, what's the word? It's very appealing. Sin is fun. If sin wasn't fun, it wouldn't be a problem. That's our problem, that we look at sin and we think, okay, maybe I can just dab in it a little bit. Well, you can't dab in it a little bit. It's going to ruin you. But you know, the reason why we try to be more Christ-like and try and do what we do and take some stands and make some difficult decisions is because we know the terror of the Lord. You know, the people die and go to hell every single day. How many people do you know that tonight they could die and go to hell? I know it's a sobering thought. Sometimes we think, haven't you ever known somebody who has passed away, known somebody who has died, and you said, man, I was with them just the other day. And you know they didn't know the Lord. And we try to just, you know, maybe forget about it and maybe say, well, you know, hopefully he heard. You know, hopefully somebody told him. But you know, you have a responsibility. The reason why we persuade men is because we know the terror of the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we get into a mode that, well, I don't feel like witnessing. Or I don't feel like getting involved. I don't feel like supporting missions. I don't feel like being a Christian. Well, you know, you need to forget how you feel and you need to do what you know. There's just some things you just do just because God said it. If you wait for the feeling, man, it's not going to get done. You're not going to change. You're not going to persuade men if you wait for the feeling. God said, go tell them. You need to go tell them. However way you can. You know, and God puts us in situations that are incredible. You know, God opens incredible doors. You know, I was the last time we were up in February, we went to Houston, visit Karen's parents. And Norman a little before, had an opportunity to speak to one of his neighbors. He's always talking to people. It's incredible. He goes and walks. He exercises. He rides his bike. He's just talking to people left and right. This guy, you wouldn't guess this guy was a Calvinist. He's always witnessing. It's just incredible. You know? I mean, it's just incredible. But he's witnessing. He's trying to get them, you know, saved. And he talked to this couple, and they separated. And it's a Mexican couple. They're from Hidalgo. And this girl was there, and we were going to be driving in. And so right away, as soon as we pulled in, Norman talked to Karen and said, "Hey, I got somebody that I need you to talk to." And, you know, and I mean, okay, we are carnal too, right? We just pull in. And thinking, you know, we've driven from, you know, the other side of the world. Well, maybe not that far, but a long ways. We just, you know, can't we just rest? No, she really needs to talk to you. So there goes Karen. And Karen had a great talk with this young lady. Explained the gospel to her. I mean, just, it was great. I mean, Karen came back and she said, "You know, I almost felt like just leading her through a prayer, but, oh, you know." And I said, "Well, just, you know, you have another opportunity to talk to her. You know, she's understanding or whatever." Well, Norman found her a church, an independent Baptist church there close by, speaks Spanish. She wrote her a letter a little while after that and said, "You know what? I talked to the pastor, and everything you told me, he said the same thing. And I got saved."
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15? It says we should always be ready to give an answer.
That's right. Amen.
An answer. You know? You think, I mean, tired, yeah. We get tired. Sometimes we think, you know, there's no time. Sometimes, but we can't menospreciar. We can't
underappreciate.
Yeah, thank you. We can't underappreciate the open doors. We cannot just overlook them. We cannot just say, "You know what? There'll be another day." And why? We know the terror of the Lord. We know exactly what's going to happen to people if they die without Christ. You know, another thing that I thought about why we do what we do? Because of who we are. Isn't that what he says there in verse 11? It says, "But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." You know, we don't need to be phony Christians. Don't you know phony Christians?
Yeah.
Don't you know people who put the title?
Yeah, right.
You know, you could be, I don't know how many times, and it's sad, but it's kind of funny too. You can meet somebody for the first time, you know, and they're talking like a good old boy, and they're saying all this stuff and everything, and you're kind of like, "Oh man," you know, and they're talking with this language and these different things, whatever, and then all of a sudden, "Hey, so what do you do for a living?" "Well, I'm a preacher." "Oh, well, yeah, I'm a Christian too," you know, and phonies. You know, a lot of people, that's what they know. I mean, at least with me, before I got saved, I had the impression of a Christian as just being a money-hungry phony. Just hypocrites. And why? Because a lot of people are. Well, you know, we need to be real Christians. We need to actually do and act, and our lives should be what God wants us to be. I think that's why we do what we do, because we want to persuade men, because we know the terror of the Lord. We know some things. We're not just ignorant of the Bible. We actually know some things. If you've been in this church for a while, if you've been here for just a little bit, we actually read the Bible. We actually go to verses. We actually, you know, spend some time in the Word. So you're going to get a good base of the Bible. There's some things that you're just going to know. You know, I when I first got saved, I heard, I mean, well, everything was new. I mean, it was just like, wow, you know, does it really say that? Where does it say that? And then what I heard here, I took with me. And I went to my work and I went to my, you know, friends. And I told them, "Look what this says." And of course, I said what, you know, I just repeated what, you know, the pastor said, and then they'd come out with something else, and I'd be like, well, I don't know how to answer that. You know? So here I'm you know, kind of sad because I'm thinking, man, I thought I understood that. And then I go back and, no, John, look over here. Oh, wow, okay, now I understand that. So there I go back again. I mean, we actually know some things. That's why. That's why we go. That's why we do what we do. We shouldn't have any excuse. You know, and the last thing I thought of why we do what we do, is look what it says. Look what it says in verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It's not your love. It's His love. It's His love for us. You know, that's why we come. That's why we preach. That's why we go. That's why we do what we do, is because God loved us. Have you thought about that lately? I mean, look, let's read a verse just real quick. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Look what it says here in we'll just read in verse 4. It says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You know, God chose us. I mean, that's what it says, right? It's funny. People ask me sometimes, you know, we've got so many arguments. It's silly arguments, you know. Oh, you're a Calvinist. You know, I just believe the Bible. It says He chose me. What do you want me to do? You know, hey, the Bible says we're predestined. That's what it says. Oh, you're a Calvinist. No, I'm a Christian. I'm a Bible believer. This is what I believe. You know, and just to think about what God did for us and how much He loved us before the foundation of the world. I mean, He loved us when we weren't so lovely. I mean, we are in better conditions now. We should be in better conditions now. You know, I mean, some of us, it's a lot easier to love us now in our state. But back then, when we weren't looking for God, back then when we were walking contrary to God, man, it's real easy to love people who are lovely. But what about people who hate you? What about people who are drunkards and fornicators and adulterers and just the whole ball, exactly where you were? When you read verses how God gave His Son to save us, that's just incredible to me. God's love? I mean, this is why we do what we do. Because of God's love. God's love is so big. Man, why? The very least we can do is serve God. Yes, amen. And the love that He's given us, how sad. God has given us so much love, and yet we murmur and we complain about coming to church. We murmur and complain about serving Him. We murmur and complain about doing what He wants us to do. And God's love is huge. This is why we do what we do. Because not only do we want to be accepted, not only do we persuade men because we know some things. We are different. We are Christians. This is why we do what we do. We have a purpose. Because Christ's love constrains us, the Bible says. You know, we ought to labor to please Him. We ought to be involved in missions. Why? Because we know some things. And because we are Christians. And we need to work, we need to labor because of God's love. Amen. He has given us so much. And it's impossible to repay what He's given us. And I don't even think God's expecting us to repay us. To repay Him for what He's given us. But we need to labor for Him. We do what we do, and we spend all our efforts and our time because One day, you're going to be before the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe he's going to judge your motives. And our motives should be because of Christ. We do what we do because of him. Amen?